In complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter which we read, John's Gospel, chapter 15, and in particular, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, or as the margin says, severed from me, ye can do nothing. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Drawn to this word, dear friends, yesterday morning, and then seeking some meditation upon it, I looked at the hymns that our dear friend Oliver had chosen for today, the first two of each service. The ones he'd chosen for the afternoon service, I asked him, could we sing them at the beginning? They seemed to fit so much here with John chapter 15. Even as we've just sung in 9:40, the one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. And that opening hymn, how needful the Lord is to us, for us, that without him, oh, we could from all things parted be, but never ever, Lord, from thee. Dear friends, this is what the teaching of Jesus puts forward, isn't it? Here, as he is walking with his disciples from the upper room toward the Garden of Gethsemane. He likens himself unto a vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He speaks that he is the vine, and we are the branches. And without him, we can bear no fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. You know, dear friends, the context here is not branches growing forth out of the vine itself. The context is of branches being grafted in to the stock, to the vine, the strong stock. Apparently in vineyards, this is the work that is carried out. There's a good stock, a good vine, rooted. There are other vines which are not so strong. They might be weak. But a branch is cut off from those other vines. And it's grafted in. Grafted into the strong vine, that it may bring forth better and more fruit. This is the parable which Jesus is explaining here. The grafting in of souls into Christ. And dear friends, that is the one vital thing that is needful if we're to bring forth any fruit to the glory of God. and be confirmed as those who shall dwell with him forever in eternity. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Apparently, dear friends, when the branch is cut off from some other vine, it isn't immediately put into the strong vine. It is left, as you might say, dormant for a time. But it's not left to dry out. The one in charge, he preserves it, so it doesn't lose completely its moisture, it doesn't dry out. And the season is normally in the winter time. And the time comes when, before the springtime, the time comes when the vine dresser, as we might call him, takes those branches which have been cut off and he prepares them to be grafted in to the strong vine. That strong vine has to be cut. Where that branch is to be grafted in, the vine is cut in a vertical way, in what might say split, so that it is opened up, and then that prepared branch from the other vine is inserted into it, into the split, and then it's bound together. And that binding together is to preserve the contact in hope that the sap of the true vine, the good vine, will flow into that branch which has been grafted in and it becomes one. And the strength of the branch now is the same strength, in essence, of the good vine, and it will bear fruit. Good fruit. Dear friends, what a beautiful parable this is concerning the way of a sinner into being one with Jesus. By nature, we belong to another vine, don't we? The vine of this world. We're full of worldliness. We are one with it. And we grow in our childhood and to love the things of this world, seeking that which is of the benefit of this world. And our beauty is to be of the grand things and great things of this world, of riches and honour and high esteem and power and whatever is within our hearts. And dear friends, where they shall abide, and will be no fruit to the honour and glory of God. Because that is not a true vine. Our life born here in this world is one where we are deceived even by Satan, who said unto Jesus in his temptation, "All the good things of this world will I give thee if thou shalt fall down and worship me." Oh, dear friends, how many branches there are of that vine in this world. And we are born, aren't we? Not in Christ, we are born in trespasses and in sins, in the vine of this world. But oh, dear friends, if it was not for the mercy and the sovereign grace of God, the sovereign will and love of God, that's where we would ever be. We would remain there, we would abide there. And we would die, never bringing any forth fruit to the glory of God. Jesus said in this parable, which he was speaking to his disciples. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ye have not chosen me. Now, dear friends, there's no desire in our hearts by nature to be chosen by God, is there? We want to live in accordance with our own choices, our own intellect and mind and lusts of our flesh. That's where our contentment we seek to be. But, dear friends, there's the will of God. There's a people who are chosen in Christ Jesus, even before the world began. Oh, that's a great mystery, isn't it? God, Almighty God, knows all things. With him there was no beginning and there'll be no ending. Yes, this world has had a beginning, which he created through Christ, with Christ and the Spirit of God. And it will have an end. And dear friends, we're upon it. We're within it. We're bound by time. But before this creation came to pass, all things was known by God, all things determined by him, his will and his purpose to come to pass. It was for the destruction of Satan's power. He, who we read mysteriously, rebelled before the earth was created in the heavens. Satan and his angels. Oh, they were cast out from heaven. They came into the earth, permitted to come. And they, dear friends, Satan and his agents deceive the hearts and minds of us as they did Adam and Eve, and we are born in their sinfulness. And we have Satan ruling our hearts captive to him. Oh, what a solemn state we're in, aren't we? For Satan will be cast when this world ends into that lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels and all those who have lived in sin in league with him. Oh, how solemn that end will be when there'll be no further change. It will be forevermore. Our minds can't put in right frame, can it, eternity? Being bound by time, day by day, night by night, year by year. There'll be an eternity, no change at all. But ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you. To be cut out, separated from the vine of this world. Dear friends, that cutting out is a conviction of our sin. It's the work of the Spirit of God, whom Jesus said at this same time in the next chapter, will convince of sin. He will put within us the quickening power of that Spirit, of his Spirit, to show us what we are before a holy God. He will reveal to us the solemnity of the righteous law of God and how we have broken it and what the consequences of the broken law are upon our soul. Yes, in league with Satan, to be judged, guilty of his wrath in the time of judgment. And dear friends, that will begin to work within us. It will put within us the fear of God. It will put within us a desire, oh, to be delivered from such consequences of our sin. And so there'll be this time. The time is determined by God. The time of the divine husbandman, as Jesus calls his Father here. And it'll be a time, dear friends, of much heart searching. We shall prove ourselves more and more to be sinners. And that desire will grow. It'll get stronger that we need to be one with Jesus, of the sacred truths that are in him. And dear friends, Satan will do his utmost to hinder. Satan will do his utmost to make us, a dry and a dead branch. To remove from us any life that has been quickened within us. But dear friends, the Lord is almighty. Yes, we shall know these things, but he will preserve us. He will keep us. He will not let us utterly fall into despair. And the time will come when, dear friends, that great work of grace will begin to predominate within us. We find that when that branch is to be grafted into the vine, it has to be further cut. It has to be chamfered. The end of it has to be cut so that it's very sharp at the one end, and then chamfered up to the thickness of the branch. Dear friends, that's a preparation to be made conformable unto the death of Christ. Paul speaks of it, doesn't he? Being made conformable unto his death. Now, being made conformable unto his death, dear friends, is we desire the one thing needful. Jesus. One's hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Oh, that's the fullness of our hope, our desire, the object of our first desire. Jesus crucified for me. It's the greatest of all desires. Yes, we have need of other things physically. But dear friends, the need of our soul becomes greatest. You know, that cutting is the work of the husbandman. That branch being prepared for the good stock, in this case the true vine, which is Jesus. Dear friends, it's not the work of one's own self. It isn't achieved by being more legally righteous to the law, as if we're to make ourselves better. No. Those things are to be undertaken, yes. We are to seek to the law for our moral conduct upon this earth. But this is to do with our innermost heart and soul, where our sin lies, where our trouble is, spiritual trouble. Oh, the Lord knoweth them that are his. They shall come. They're loved with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he draws us, draws them, and prepares them. That object of one's first desire, Jesus, crucified for me. Dear friends, you've lost the love of the world now, haven't you? It's in second place. Oh yes, we have to contend with the world and be in it, but we still have that earthly nature in measure, but our hearts have been prepared for that grafting in to the true riches, the true grace, the mercy, the pardoning love of Jesus Christ. And dear friends, there, oh, this true vine, Jesus, he's been cut. He suffered. He's bled. He died. He poured out his soul unto death, bearing the sins of many. Oh, what a cutting that was. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was that solemn cry on Calvary's cross. A separation. as he fell from the far of the Father. But, dear friends, it wasn't an eternal separation, was it? It was only through the significance of the cutting of power of those sins which he was carrying. No, he was still one with the Father. He was still the true vine. He was still rooted in the Godhead of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This was the work which the Father had given him to do. This was his obedience. And dear friends, the Lord then, oh, by the influence of the Spirit, takes of that branch which has been prepared and inserts, if I can use that word, brings it to know the fullness of the pardoning love of Jesus Christ, bound unto him by faith. Trusting, oh, that one's only hope now of life is in Christ. That's the only way there is life of our soul, isn't it? It's in Christ. Bound unto him. Bound unto him by faith. Bound by faith in believing in the sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And dear friends, he becomes our glory, doesn't he? There's our peace, there's our safety. And we are bound unto him in love. In love. That redeeming love. And we love him because he hath first loved us. And we are bound. Oh, as the scripture says, by that love of God, by the Holy Ghost, shed abroad in our hearts, one with Jesus, eternally one. What a grafting in. You know, dear friends, this grafting in isn't something we can imagine, is it? It's something which is sure, it's something certain, it's an experience which is known and felt. It isn't something that we just have in our minds and, oh yes, I hope so, I believe that's the right way. And, dear friends, if it's the work of the Lord truly, he'll prepare you for to be the one thing needful. And you won't be satisfied until you are there. Jesus speaks here concerning his disciples. Ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You know, this branch, when it's grafted into the vine, has to be very clean. No impediment. Clean through the word. The word which is Christ himself. And the word, when he comes in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance the gospel, oh, there one has poured out one's heart in confession before God. And that word, oh, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, fully prepared to be one with Jesus. Well, dear friends, if we are to have a hope of eternal life, that hope not being a vain hope, but an expectation, a sure hope, then, dear friends, this has to be the way. Grafted in, separated from the love of the world in which we are born, the nature of our own heart and mind and soul, and to be prepared and changed. Oh, Jesus speaks of it being born again of the Spirit, born of God, to enter into the sacred truth of Jesus. And dear friends, there's then that growth, isn't there? It isn't just a grafting in, there's a binding together. And in that binding together, dear friends, in love, there's the receipt more and more of his grace. He giveth more grace. And we grow in that grace. And that grace, dear friends, is that we shall bear fruit to the honour and glory of God. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, the fruit within our own self by nature is grievous to God, isn't it? It's sinful. But we read of the fruit of the Spirit in that Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We become a new person. This Spirit is the predominance of our behaviour, of our thoughts. Whereas once it was for the good of our flesh and the desires of the lusts of our hearts and seeking great things for ourselves, we now seek, to bring forth those great things which are the evidence of the love of Christ, who shed his blood to cleanse us from all sin within our hearts. He showed us what is good. And we are to love, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Dear friends, the fruit of the Spirit. Dear friends, it's the Spirit of Christ. And if we've not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Oh, what a difference there is. It's very solemn, isn't it? Every branch, Jesus said, in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. Francis seems to imply an evidence, an outward evidence of a branch on a vine. To all intents and purposes, from the outward appearance, it is one with the vine. But there's no fruit. There's no evidence of that divine sap, as we call it, flowing into that branch to bring forth the fruit that is needed to be seen by the husbandman, by God. Therefore, it is thrown away. It is cast away. It's not needful. It has no value. Oh, dear friends, how solemn to have an outward religious profession, but know nothing of this grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, where though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we by his poverty might be made rich, that then we bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Dear friends, those branches which are cast away, they bear the same environment, don't they, as the good, strong vine itself and the branches which are on that vine. They have the winter, they have the summer, they have the rain, they have the wind, they have the cold, they have the heat, and they wither away. And they're only fit to be burned in the fire. Oh, what a solemn end for anything that is not subject to the grace of God. There's the judgment. And dear friends, those branches which bear fruit, we read, he purgeth it. You see, we've still got some aspect of our original nature in us, haven't we? We've still got that nature of sin in our natural hearts. We've still got our own desires and still abiding there. Although we trust they're largely subdued by the influence of the Spirit of God and of Christ. But at times, and from time, dear friends, they may come and make themselves evident in our lives. We may be tempted to depart from the word and seek great things for ourselves, go our own way and do our own will, like poor Jonah did. He did not want to go and obey the word of God. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He wanted to stay in Israel. He sought to flee from the influence of the word of God. You know, dear friends, these things are known in the children of God, even in these branches which have been grafted into Christ. And he has to purge them. I mean, he has to cut them back. He has to stop them from growing in of just of themselves in their own earthly ways. And you know, we read that a vine, the best fruit, comes on a branch which is close, when it's closest to the vine. The surplus has been cut away, and that what remains bears the best fruit. Oh, how we need, don't we, the chastening of the Lord at times to purge us of our sins and sinful desires and determinations contrary to the will of God. I am the vine, says Jesus. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, there's the unity. There's the blessed work of the Spirit and the flowing in of the grace of Christ and God into our hearts. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, severed from me, ye can do nothing. Nothing that is to the honour and glory of God, the furtherance of the gospel, or for the salvation of our souls. Jesus is the one thing needful. We without him must perish. Dear friends, what a mercy that he knows them that are his, chosen in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And Jesus says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No. Dear friends, where is the work of the Lord? There will be this binding together as one with Christ. As we, Jesus prayed, didn't he, to his Father, Lord, that they be one, even as we are one. Who were those he was praying for? Those who believed in him through the word of the apostles, the preached word of those who he would send forth. Those that believed in him. Those where the work of the Spirit through the preached word had had that gracious effect. Willing to leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, or we might say here, the good vine, and enter in to be prepared for eternal life. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Well, dear friends, we have a lovely word in verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, that's a searching word, isn't it? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now that's a promise. And the Lord is faithful that hath promised. Oh, how it exercises us, doesn't it, in our prayers, when they do not seem to be answered. Ye shall ask what ye will. Now, dear friends, that's a very deep word. What is our will? You know, if we've truly been made one with Jesus, conformable unto his death, grafted into Christ, that he is our life, he is our hope, he is our all and in all, then, dear friends, our will be to grow in his grace and to bring forth fruit to his honour and glory by nature, our will is to be delivered from all difficulties and pains and afflictions and troubles and all that may come upon us in this world. We're no different to unbelievers in that respect. We all have those ailments, bodily ailments, and troubles and difficulties. Yes. How do we pray regarding them? Do we pray just to have them taken away, that bodily we can be more comfortable, we can be at ease, and we can carry on without any aggravations or whatever it is, and our bodily good? Dear friends, no. If we are one with Jesus, if we are grafted into Christ the vine, if we are one with him in spirit, then friends, our prayers will be in all our circumstances, all our troubles, all our tribulations. Lord, sanctify them to the good of our soul. Help me to call upon thee, yes, in the day of trouble, for thee to deliver me, that I may glorify thee. Now that's to be the essence of our prayers. That will be the essence of the prayers of those who are one with Jesus, that he will answer our prayers in accordance with his will, that we shall grow in his grace and glorify him more and walk in his ways, obey his voice, all his will esteem. Oh, Jesus speaks quite a bit, isn't it, here, concerning love. Ye shall abide in my love, if ye keep my commandments. Dear friends, is that what we desire to do? Or are we still seeking our own will, our own ways? Oh, we say, yes, I know what the word of the Lord is, but, oh no, I can't go that way. I prefer mine own way. Dear friends, that's not obeying, is it, the word of God? If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even just Jesus says, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Dear friends, that love that has drawn us to be grafted into Christ the vine, into his redeeming love, that now shed abroad in our hearts, we're to walk in love as he has loved us. If ye love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And that is to walk in the Spirit, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, to show it forth. And dear friends, that's where the foundation is of the church, isn't it? Not that, well, Christ, the foundation of the church. There are many branches of this good and true vine. They don't squabble amongst themselves. You look at a vine growing upon this earth. Yeah, friends, all the branches of it, the beauties in all the fruit that they brings forth, isn't it? Those branches aren't fighting against each other to see who can be the best and who can produce the most fruit. And if they're branches to bring forth fruit, as they are bound into the vine, by that heavenly, by the sap, or by the heavenly grace of God. And so we have the church members, dear friends, united to the vine, their root, rooted in Christ, to bring forth fruit. And that's the glory of the church, isn't it? Determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that fruit, the evidence of that mercy and grace which they have found through the sovereign will and grace and love of God. Oh, this is the glory, isn't it? Glory to God. His church upon this earth is to live to the honour and glory of the Father and of Christ their Saviour. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And dear friends, Christ speaks that as he hath loved us, so we are to love one another. All these branches, the branches that are bound in Christ's church, that are to walk in love one to another. Oh, no bitterness, no hatred, no complaining. Oh, there may be those things that arise from time to time which may cause some bitterness or difference of opinions and so on and so forth. But dear friends, we are to pray one for another. We are to love one another. And that love one for another is not natural. That love one to another is rooted in the love of Christ to each one. There's the grace. The effect of the grace of God and of Christ within us, the evidence. We love one another as Christ hath loved us. Dear friends, what a standard is set here, isn't there? By Jesus. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Well, dear friends, may this word search us out. Are we one with Jesus? Is he the true vine of which we are one of his branches? Is that love, that grace, that mercy, is that what feeds our souls? That enables us and strengthens us to live to his honour and glory. Oh yes, in times of trouble and anxieties, cares, dear friends, where's our strength come from? It comes from this grace and mercy and love in Christ. As we plead with him, our prayers are unto him. Lord, do work these things that we may bring forth fruit to thine honour and glory. Be confirmed as one of thine who love mercy and walk humbly with thee, our God. Oh, may that be the case of each of us here. Dear friends, that we, those humble branches of Christ the true vine, seeking one thing before all other things, that is his glory. And so to obey his voice and all his will esteem. Amen.